stay standing. Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 20. Revelation, chapter 20, that's the last book of the Bible, almost the last chapter, but Revelation, chapter 20, we're going to read verses 10 through 15 together. We'll read this passage responsively. After we read, I'll pray. After I pray, you may be seated, and then we'll have a special, and I'm going to come preach to you this morning. I'd ask if you would, after we read the Bible and pray and be seated, please don't step out unless it's an emergency, and I understand if it's an emergency. Now, your definition of emergency and mine is totally different. Folks, I've been sitting on platforms and going to church for 26 years. I never had to leave a church service to go to the bathroom in 26 years off the platform. I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but we just need to pay attention in church. What's going on here is more important than the bathroom, unless it's just an emergency, all right? And I know those things happen, and I'm not upset. I'm not angry. If you come back in, I need you to kind of stay towards the back, especially if you walk in from up here. Everybody's going to watch you, not me. And I need all the help I can get, so don't hurt us, all right? So I'm just trying to help everybody. Revelation chapter 20, we're going to read verses 10 through 15 together. We'll read this responsively. I'll read verse 10. You join me on verse 11, and we'll alternate through the passage that way. And the devil deceived them. The devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And let's pray. Father, please, would you help us today? Lord, this sermon probably is not going the direction that most think. But Lord, I believe it's important for our generation to hear. I pray that you'd help us. May we have a spiritual ear to listen. Lord, if there's one here today that's not saved, may they trust you as Savior. Lord, to those that are saved, may you encourage and strengthen us and give us clarity to the Word of God so that we can better serve you, so that we can help more people, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I will need your attention this morning. I think I can earn it, but if you'll give it to me, we can get through the sermon a little faster, amen? That means you get to lunch a little quicker. But I need your attention, and I need you to listen with a purpose at the beginning. If you don't listen carefully at the beginning, when I get to the end, you're going to be as confused as a termite in a yo-yo and not know where you're going, all right? So just listen very carefully with me, if you will. Now, I'm going to start with a statement not intended to cause fear, but to cause excitement. I believe we are in the last days. Now, I'm not a fatalist. I also understand that they were looking for the last days in the New Testament. That means we're about 2,000 years closer to it than we were 2,000 years ago. I know we're that much closer. So the matter of the calendar, I know we're closer. How close are we? I believe we are living in the last moments before the rapture takes place. Now, I say that to say this, not to get anybody panicked, not to get anybody to get all whacked out here, but I want to show you some things that will help you. There is much speculation about future events. People would call it prophecy. I do not pretend to know the future outside of what God told us in that book right there. Can I tell you something? God gave us all the information we need. We need to quit putting our spin on it, quit putting man's philosophy with it, and telling everybody what they don't know. if we'll just take the events that God has given to us in the order God gave them to us, we would understand everything God wants us to understand about the future. Now, if you'll listen to me, I think I could help you. I will not set any dates. I will not give any times, because God gave no dates and God gave no times. I want to settle you about the future so that you understand what is before us. Now, at first, I'm going to give you a series of events that will take place over the next 1,000+ years. You say, I'm not going to live that long. If you're saved, you will. And if you're not saved, you will too. You just won't live here. And there's things that take place after that. I'm going to briefly explain all of these seven events, and then I'm going to focus on two things towards the end. So I really need you to listen very, very, very carefully, and I must lay a big foundation so that the sermon will make sense to you, and I believe you'll walk out an excited, happier, uplifted Christian than when you walked in. And if you walked in not a Christian, you'll be able to walk out a Christian and be excited about it. Now, the first thing that will take place in future events, in prophecy, the next thing to take place is an event called the rapture. Now, the rapture, the word rapture is not found anywhere in the Bible. The word rapture means a pulling away, a snatching away. If you went to the book of Revelation chapter 5, verse number 1, it talks about a calling out, a pulling away. And God comes back for everyone who ever has been saved. Jesus will come back in the clouds. A trump of God shall sound. The dead in Christ will rise first. The graves are going to kick open of every person who's ever been saved. The graves are going to bust open, and the dead in Christ rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet them in the clouds, and we'll go to heaven with Jesus at that point in time. You say, wow, that sounds pretty neat. Yeah, that's why you want to make sure you're saved. GE, General Electric, timed it. The Bible says it'll happen in the twinkling of an eye. That's not the blinking of an eye. It's the twinkling of an eye, and they have measured it. The twinkling of an eye is the time it takes for light to hit your eye and sparkle back, and it takes 1/30th of a second. That means Jesus could come back 30 times in 1 second. That's how fast it will take place. I don't know about you, that's fast. That's faster than I can almost wrap my head around, but it is fast. Now, you say, then what? Does that mean the whole world is going up? Do you know how many billions of people don't believe in Christ? You know how many people that are God-hating people that have rejected God? They will be left here to rule the earth. Our world's pretty rough right now. Can you imagine what happens when you remove every bit of Christianity away from it? This old world is bound for some pretty rough days. Now, I believe the rapture kicks off the next series of events, which is something called the Great Tribulation. But listen to me very carefully. We will be raptured with Jesus. We'll meet him in the clouds. He will take us to heaven with him. And for 7 years, there's an event called the Marriage Feast of the Lamb. Say, what is that? That's a 7-year buffet with Jesus. Amen. We get to feast with him. And during that 7 years, Jesus is giving us a... He's giving us rank. He's getting his kingdom set up, because after the tribulation, we come back to rule the earth with Jesus out of Jerusalem. And those of us that are in heaven will be the government for Jesus. So while we're in heaven during that feast, he is giving us our responsibilities and training us to run the world for the next 1,000 years. And we're receiving our rewards. Those that did things for the Lord, you'll earn your rank, and you'll build up your leadership, and people will be answering to you based on the works that you did while you were here on the earth. And I'll get into that a little bit more here in just a little bit. Now, you say, well, we're going to get our rewards then. That's the judgment seat. I'm not exactly sure where it comes in, but I do know this. Crowns weren't a reward. Crowns represent rank. You don't get a crown unless you're being honored in a position. And those crowns are your positioning for the government of the millennium. Everybody doing all right? Okay, hang in here. So the rapture takes place. Now, I believe either just before or the catapulting of the Great Tribulation will be a global economic failure. If you take millions and millions and millions and millions of people out of the workforce globally, the world's economy will collapse. The only way Antichrist can set up a one-world government during the tribulation is total global bankruptcy. If you listen to the news, you're hearing global economic failure. Global bankruptcy is being said every week in the news. We're on the precipice of it. Now, listen to me very carefully. Then, after the rapture, and during that seven-year period, there's something on earth, while we're in heaven at the marriage feast and getting our rank and getting our rewards and things there, on the earth, there's something called the Great Tribulation. Now, listen to me very carefully. This is a seven-year period started by the rapture. This is where the Antichrist sets up a one-world government, a one-world economy, and he will run the world under one unified type of government. You say, that just sounds scary. It ought to scare you. My Bible talks about the beast and the false prophet. I think the beast might be Hillary. But we won't go there. But I do know that. You say, you shouldn't say that. Okay, don't say it. I will. This is where the government, and by the way, this seven-year period on earth is split up into two halves. 42 months, 3.5 years, there'll be peace. The Antichrist will arrive on the scene right at the rapture and say, look, we have global collapse. I have the answer. You let me help, and I'll get everybody on the right track. During that time, they're initiating the one-world government, the one-world economy. That's where the number 666 comes in, and they'll stamp it in the forehead or on the back of the hand. Personally, I kind of believe it will be a computer chip. They'll be able to insert it. They're doing it to dogs and cats right now, have been for years. Won't take anything for them. There'll be no cash. It'll be a cashless society. And all of your accounting will be done, just like when you go to Walmart, ladies, and the app on your phone is reading what you're buying and giving you coupons as you go. That little chip in the hand or in the forehead will do the same very thing. And you won't be able to buy and sell unless you take that chip. You say, well, I'm scared of that. I'm not. We're out of here. We're in heaven before that takes place. You don't have anything to worry about if you're saved. Now, the first 3.5 years, there's peace. And the Antichrist comes on as this charismatic global leader who's calming the world, setting everybody up. He comes in as the savior of the world's economy and people and governments. But after 3.5 years, all of God's wrath cuts loose. God, in 42 months, unleashes 21 judgments on the earth. That's every other month for 3.5 years, a new judgment takes place. I do not know if they happen one after another every other month like that. God doesn't tell us. But there are 7 seal judgments, there are 7 trumpet judgments, and there are 7 vial trumpets. And vial meaning V-I-A-L, not the other kind of vial. But and these vials are poured out. The trumpets are judged, and the seals are open, and all of God's wrath. We'll find out during that time if you read the book of Revelation. And this most of the book of Revelation is written about this time. This is where you have the horsemen coming back. And this is where one-fourth of the world's population is destroyed at one time and one-third at another time. And that's where one-fourth of the land at one time, one-third of the land at another time are destroyed on the face of the earth. It is going to be a violent, wicked, evil, judgmental time for the earth. You don't want to be here. Bible says that people will be hiding in caves and rocks, begging to die, and they're not able to die. There'll be just total pandemonium and God's wrath poured out on the earth. Now, during that time, you have two witnesses. I personally believe it'll be Elisha and Enoch. They'll come back. They will preach righteousness and telling people how to get saved, to reject the Antichrist, get saved, and how to go to heaven. And you say, why do you believe those two? Because the Bible says, as is appointed unto man once to die, and after this to judgment. Those are the only two human beings that have gone to heaven without dying. Even Jesus died. And for God to be true, God's got to be true to his word. There are two witnesses that will come, the Bible says, down from heaven, and they are there now and have not yet died. They'll preach, people will get saved, and the Antichrist will have them killed, and they'll lay in the streets for 3 days and three nights. And then they're going to have a personal rapture for two, amen? Because the Bible says after 3 days and three nights, ABC, NBC, CNN, CBS, and Fox are going to be showing them and their bodies laying in the streets for 3 days. And then all of a sudden, Brother Enoch's going to lean over to Brother Elisha and say, Brother, let's get up and show them what God can do. They'll stand up and God will take them to heaven in view of the whole world while it's going on. I wish I could see that in advance. Now, 20 or 42 months, 21 judgments against the earth in 3.5 years. Then, what most people think is the end of the world, an event called Armageddon. Armageddon is not the end of the world. Armageddon will be the end of this tribulation period. And Jesus will lead us on white horses back from heaven to earth and will fight in a place called Megiddo. It is the Battle of Armageddon. It is a very huge valley out near the Iran-Iraq area. And in that valley, there will be billions of soldiers fighting. You say, are we going to come back and fight? Uh-uh. Jesus is going to fight it. He's coming back according to Revelation chapter 19 and chapter 20, and he is coming back to fight them. He's going to use the word of God to put them down. It's the sword that proceeds out of his mouth, and he will destroy all of the armies of the world gathered there. And the Bible says that the blood will rise to the bridle of a horse. Now, I'm not real smart, but I know the bridle on a horse is generally about 5 feet deep minimum. Can you imagine blood being in a valley that is probably about 15 miles by 20 miles wide and the blood being 5 feet deep covering that whole area? Can you imagine the stench of the rotting flesh of the horses and of the human beings that will be there? The Bible says that all of the fowls will come and eat so much of the dead bodies that they can't even eat it all up. Jesus will put them down, and as soon as he does, he will enter Jerusalem and set up for the next event, which is the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. You say, why are we coming on white horses? Because we're coming back to rule and reign with him. He will be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who will set up his throne in Israel, and we will rule with him all over the world. Say, well, where will we be? That's what you're going to find out during those 7 years while you're in heaven. I don't know about you. I don't mind cleaning toilets and mopping floors, but I want to do more than that while I'm in heaven. I want to do more than that when I come back. Amen? Now, this is the end of the tribulation. Jesus puts them down with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Then, event number four is the thousand-year millennial reign of Jesus. Now, listen to me. This is important. This is where God says that the lion will lie down with the lamb. There'll be peace on the earth. It will be, listen to this statement, it will be much like God made the earth back in the Garden of Eden. Bible says that if someone dies at the age of 100, we'll say that that was an infant that died. Now, I don't know about you. My grandma's 97 years old. She's not an infant. She's a tough old German, but she's not an infant. Now, wait a minute. My grandma would still be a baby in the millennium at 97. Now, Jesus will set up his throne, and there'll be peace on the earth for 1,000 years. And those of us that come back with Jesus, we will rule and reign here on the earth. Again, I believe we get our rank while we're there in heaven for those 7 years. I believe God is establishing who goes where. By the way, I've asked God to give me the panhandle of West Virginia. Say why? I love this area. God called me here. I really believe that I get to kick some of these wicked politicians off their throne, and I get to tell them what to do. Amen? We're going to have things run God's way, not man's way. We'll be doing things the way God wants it done. Now, this is where the 1,000 years will run as God intended. By the way, during that 1,000 years, the Bible says that God takes Satan after the Battle of Armageddon, and he opens up the bottomless pit and throws the devil in and locks it up, and the devil will be falling in a bottomless pit for 1,000 years. Won't that be fun to watch? Say, what do you want to do? I want to ask Jesus if I can kick him in the backside to get him in there. Say why? I'm stinking tired of old smutty face. Tired of what he's doing to people. So during that 1,000 years, that's why we'll have peace, because the devil won't be here to bother anybody. Amen. Now, people will be born. See, there's people that will make it all the way through the tribulation that won't necessarily be saved. We'll be here to teach them, to train them, to preach to them, and they'll have a chance to get saved. People will be born. Those people will need to be saved. People are still going to need being saved. Now, listen to this. Then, the Bible says, after that 1,000 years, God opens that pit up one more time and lets old stinking smutty face out. Can you imagine how mad he's going to be? The Bible says that God will loose him for a season. How long is that? Until God says so? I don't know. I'm not going to pretend. I'm not going to tell you that it's months. I'm not going to tell you that it's a year, years, decades, centuries, or millenniums. I have no idea. I just know God says he's going to open up that bottomless pit, let the devil out, to try to one more time stir up all the trouble he can. You say, why would God do that? I'm not God. When you get there, you can ask him. But that's when the end of the world comes. Now, I want you to look at your Bible here for just a second. And I want to see here, I think it's Revelation chapter 21. It might be chapter. And I didn't mark it in this Bible here, so hang on. And I'm probably going to, chapter 20. I'm sorry. Let's look at verse number 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. Now look at me. Interesting. Gog and Magog. That doesn't mean a 3-year-old that can't say dog. Gog and Magog. This is the end of the world as we know it. Now, the devil will gather all of these nations together and as many of an army together as he can get, gather them to fight against God in an end time battle. And it says Gog and Magog. Now, very interesting. The word Gog is the word Gomer in the Hebrew. The Hebrew word Gomer is where we get the word Germany. Magog is the English word for Magog is Moscow. Germany and Russia will unite forces to try to gather an army to fight against God. That's what it's talking about right here. Kind of like the alignment during World War II, at the beginning of World War II. A lot of the preachers back in the 30s and 40s, when Russia and Germany got together, were preaching the end times because Gog and Magog joined forces in a battle. That's why they were doing that, just so you know. Everybody doing okay? Now, one final battle. God once again strikes them down, and then he brings all of the dead, this is event number 6, to heaven. All of the dead, they're pulled out of death and hell, and they stand before God at an event called the Great White Throne Judgment. Now, this is where all the lost people receive their final punishment. We read in Revelation chapter 20 that they will receive the reward for their works. Okay, everybody listen to me. Just like we Christians are earning rank and we Christians are earning things for heaven, lost people are earning degree of punishment for eternity. The Hugh Hefners, the Anheuser-Busch, and the drunken booze and wine culture of our day that are destroying the world, the drug runners, are receiving at this point in time a hotter damnation and a worse hell than those that just do what we would call regular sinning. Just so you know, none of it's good. You're not going to have a party down there with your buddies. It is a real place. It is total opposite of what God is. God is light. Eternity in hell is total darkness. God is love. Hell will be total bitterness. The worst part of hell will not be the fire. It'll be the total absence of the presence of God. And God will, at that point, give everyone the full reward of their punishment. Let me show you what I mean. There are people, Madeline Murray O'Hare has been dead. But if she did not get saved, the people that she influenced by getting her anti-God philosophy in the Bible and prayer out of the public school system, and the amount of filth and vileness, it's still building on her account. And whoever influenced her, all of her evil is still building on their account. And all of that sum total, God's going to add it all up and say, here's your final punishment. That's not a good thing. Mr. Hefner and his pornography industry, ruining marriages and ruining young people and turning people into sodomites and filthy, vile generation that we have, he will get his full reward. These false preachers that get up and tell you that, and false religions, they will get their final reward. Folks, there's going to be a lot of popes thrown into hell if they believe the doctrine they preach and all the people they led astray. Everybody doing all right? His little white robe and his little pointed hat isn't going to help him in eternity. Now, the great white throne judgment. It is after the great white throne judgment, then, that certain things take place that we attribute to the moment we get to heaven. This is where we're kind of transitioning into the sermon a little bit more. Now, number one, I want you to look at Revelation chapter 22. Notice this is after the great white throne judgment. And he showed me a pure river of water of life. By the way, look at me for a moment. Chapter 21 is God destroying the earth by fire. And God destroying the heaven of that we know today and remaking heaven and remaking earth. You say, why is he going to do that? Because the earth has been cursed by sin and heaven was cursed by sin because of Lucifer. And it can't be eternal, it can't be everlasting and have had sin there. So he must remake it. Everybody doing okay? God will destroy the world by fire and remake it. He'll destroy heaven and remake it. Then we hit Revelation chapter 22. Look at verse number 1. And he showed me a river, a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it. Hey, notice heaven's a real place. It has a street. And on either side of the river, there was a tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. Oh, notice, month, a calendar, just like we have. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Watch this. And there shall be no more, what's the next word? Curse. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there. They need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord giveth them light, shall reign forever and ever. Wow. God says that, look at verse, chapter, and it's at that time that God wipes away all tears from our eyes. Look at verse, chapter 21, verse number 4. Let's start in verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. There was no more sea, and I, John, saw the holy city of New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Watch this. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Now look at me. It's not until after the great white throne judgment that all this takes place. Did you know that there will be crying in heaven? I don't know if it will be by the saved. But I know at the great white throne, when people are standing before God and kneeling before God, and he throws them and casts them into hell for eternity, there will be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, the Bible says. So there will be tears in heaven. Will we cry? I don't know. But I do know this. You can't watch something like that billions of times and it not affect you. But God said he'll wipe all that away. He's going to wipe the curse away. He's going to wipe the curse of death, the curse of sin. He's going to wipe it all away. He'll wipe the tears. By the way, I want you to notice two words. The Bible says the former things are passed away. You know what you call it when somebody dies. We say they passed away. That means death is going to die one last time. Tears are going to die. We're not going to have to cry because people hurt us. We're not going to have to cry because people break our hearts. We're not going to have to cry because someone we love has died. We're not going to have to cry when we have to say goodbye to loved ones, because we'll never say goodbye in glory. We'll never have to face pain. This old bag of bones, when it starts hurting, it's going to quit hurting. We're not going to age. Praise the Lord. We're not going to have to diet. That's worth going to heaven for right there. Amen. We're not going to have to face any of the heartaches. We're not going to have to face drunk drivers. We're not going to have to face young people aren't going to have to face a daddy who comes home drunk, beating on mama and beating on them. Not going to have to face a perverted culture. Hey, say why? Because it's going to pass away. There'll be no more curse. Now, listen to me very carefully. If you are saved, you ought to shout as soon as I'm done with this. You will never be judged for your sin. You will never, ever be judged for your sin. Romans chapter 8, verse number 1. There is now, therefore, no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. When you get to heaven, Jack Van Impe was wrong. When you get to heaven, the judgment seat of Christ is not God taking your life, putting it on a giant video screen, showing everybody in heaven everything you did. That's not scriptural. Say why? Because if you got saved, the only thing on your account is Jesus' righteousness. Amen. Not only has your sin been washed away, God made it as though you never did sin, and that sin was put under the blood of Christ, and God added the righteousness of Jesus Christ to your account. There's nothing to show except everything good that Jesus ever did. Can I tell you something? You will never, ever be judged for your sin. Now, as we said last week, wood, hay, and stubble, are you spending your inheritance now, or are you going to wait till you get there? We're going to receive the rewards of the works we do. Notice, rewards. We get reward in heaven by what we do here on earth. Did you know obeying God is not that hard? It's amazing how complicated we make it, though. Why is it that obedience is so hard, yet that's all God requires? If you've ever been to one of our soul winning meetings, I say this. You're not responsible for how people receive the gospel. You're just supposed to deliver it. I said something yesterday. Brother Hawkins, did you know that if the mailman brings your Potomac Edison bill or whoever your power company is, if he brings it to your house and you don't pay the bill, Potomac Edison doesn't make the mailman pay your bill? Don't you wish he did? You say, that's stupid. Well, the mailman's not responsible for you paying the bill. He's just there to deliver the package. Yes, sir. Guess what? A soul winner's just there to deliver the package. Whether you receive it or not, that's between you and God. It's your responsibility to go tell everybody, well, I went soul winning one time and somebody slammed a door in my face. No. Only one? Good night. I've had guns pointed in my face. I've been cussed at. I've had people let dogs out that are twice my size. And they weren't friendly dogs. I was out soul winning one day. This guy said, I don't want nothing to do with it. I said, all right, mind if I put this in your door? He said, do what you want. Then I heard, sick him. I know what that means. That means pivot and proceed as quickly as you can. Trouble was he had a 4-foot fence all the way around that yard. And the gate locked when we went in. As I let go of the track and turned around, I heard this woof, woof coming behind me. That cotton picker chased me all the way out. I hurdled a 4-foot fence that day. I had a pair of cowboy boots on. I had wet marks on the back of my cowboy boots from kicking that dog's nose as I was running. Now, wait a minute. I got out of there. My soul winning partner made 2 laps around that thing. I got out in 1. Amen. You say, did you run faster than the dog? I only had to outrun my soul winning partner. Every man for himself at that point in time. Amen. I'm glad it doesn't happen that way all the time. I was glad I was about 30 years younger than I am right now. May I say this? I'll receive rewards for going. Now, I'm going to get blessings because people have been saved. I'm going to get blessings because there's going to be people in heaven all over heaven I've gotten to win to Christ. And I'm going to find out even more blessings because people I won to Christ, that won people to Christ, that won people to Christ, that won people to Christ. It's going to get exciting. My wife and I led a couple to the Lord in our couples class in South Carolina. They're missionaries in Costa Rica. Did you know every time somebody gets saved in Costa Rica, it's because my wife and I led Ryan and Lori to the Lord, and we're getting coupons added to the account. Amen. And when I get to heaven, I'm going to get to cash in on them. I've got preacher boys and preacher boys' wives and missionary wives and Christian school teachers all over the world that God's allowed me to help influence. Can I say something? God is going to be good at that point in time. It's going to get exciting. Now listen to me. Guess what, Christian? You never face judgment for your sin. You'll receive the reward for your works. We talk about works so that, listen to this statement, so that you can get more reward. It's not a matter of you getting it because of, look this way, it's not a matter of anything else but you getting your reward for the works you do. Christian, I don't care how bad of a life you live before you're saved, you're never judged for it. That was taken care of at salvation. Brother Mike, you used to be a drunkard. Guess what? He never faced the judgment for that. Jesus took care of that at salvation. I don't care how bad, how wicked, how filthy, how vile of a life you've lived. If you've been saved, any sin, past, present, or future, it's already cared for. It's under the blood. That does not give you a license to go out and live a vile life. I love my mom and dad. There are some things I won't do just because I respect and I love my mom and dad. Anybody understand that? I don't even have to agree with my mom or dad. Guess what? There are some things I do just out of respect for them. Everybody doing all right? Why do you drive a Ford car? Because the Ford Motor Company employed my dad when I was a kid. And I'll tell you why. It was good enough to put food in my belly. I owe it to them to pay them back a little. That's why I do it. Is it wrong to own another car? No, I have owned some others. But may I say this? It got me where I'm at. I do that out of respect. There's some views my dad has on the auto industry. I uphold those because I respect my dad. He was good enough to put food in my belly, put a roof over my head, put clothes on my back when I couldn't do it myself. Guess what? I owe him that respect. Met a veteran out yesterday, and I thanked him for being a veteran. Yesterday was the 71st, is that right, brother? Yes, 71st anniversary of D-Day. Man, I appreciate what people have done who have gone before us. By the way, I'm not for a country that doesn't know what patriotism's all about. Now, I'm not saying people in heaven have pain, but we'll never feel the pain of sin ever again at that point in time. Listen to me. if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you don't know for sure you're going to heaven, if you've never had salvation, let me tell you something. You will face God at the great white throne judgment, and you will face punishment for every sin you ever committed. And every sin that you committed that affected somebody else, that affected somebody else, that affected somebody else, that affected somebody else, all the way through history will be added to your account, and the punishment will be that much greater. I don't want that for anybody. When is the judgment seat? God doesn't tell us. Some people think it's during that 7 years. I'm good with it. Some think it might be after that. I have no idea. By the way, does it really matter? Really doesn't to me. I'm just listening for a trumpet. 1 Thessalonians says that the trump of God shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet him in the cloud, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Watch this. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. What a comfort to know when that trumpet blows, we're going up. Amen. I got to tell this story. Deacons and I were in a meeting about a year and a half ago, sitting in my office, and all of a sudden, Casey Rogers was standing outside my office playing her trumpet in this room over here. I watched six people go. Immediately. I mean, we had no idea. I thought, I looked around and thought, wow, we had rapture practice, amen? Can I tell you something? It's going to happen so fast we won't have a chance to look around. I feel sorry for those that are left behind. I really do. Do me a favor. If you've never listened to any preacher before in your life, if you'll listen to me today, I could save you an awful lot of heartache and grief. Awful lot of heartache and grief. Young people, there's nothing to be afraid of. Well, I'm afraid that we're going to face all of this doom and gloom. You're not. Bible says you're going to be out of here before it hits. Amen. You don't have to worry about the one world government. You're out of here before it hits. You don't have to worry about a one world currency. You're out of here before it hits. You don't have to worry about the mark of the beast. Well, is it going to be a computer chip? Is it going to be a tattoo? Can't be a tattoo. Half the world's got so many on there you couldn't read what it was anyway. Is it going to be this? Is it good? Who cares? You're out of here before it takes place. You're out of here. Why don't you just trust Jesus Christ? Let him take care of your sin debt. And guess what? You get to enjoy eternity like the rest of us. To those of you that have been saved, why don't you get busy and do something for God so that you can do more during the millennium? I don't know about you. I plan on coming back and being more than a street sweeper. I definitely don't want to be a garbage man. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You know, all the free food you want? Mm-mm. About July and August when you got to smell all that stinky trash? Mm-mm. I respect those men and ladies. Trust me, that's not a job I want. I definitely don't want to be on the road crew that picks up roadkill. I fear there's going to be a lot of Christians that that's the only job they're going to do because they don't do nothing while they're saved. I don't know how many toilets I cleaned yesterday. I cleaned both bathrooms here yesterday. I cleaned a bathroom at home with my wife yesterday when I got home. I'm not afraid of cleaning toilets, but I'll be honest with you, that's not a job I want to do for eternity. There are more pleasant jobs in life, amen? Now, I'd rather do that than not make it there, that's for sure. But I don't want to settle for that. I did. Again, I told God, God, would you give me the panhandle area? I'm working as hard as I can. I'd like to lead the panhandle of West Virginia. Say why? Because I love this area. God called me here. God put it in my heart to be here. I plan on dying here, not anytime soon. I'd love to lead it during the millennium, Brother Mike. Whew. I think it would be great. I'm asking God to let my church be my employees, my helpers, so that we can lead this thing the right way. We can tell all these liberals to obey us. We can tell all the non-believers, you got to do it our way now. Mohammed's not allowed. Na 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 na. Fat belly Buddha's not allowed. Well, you can't dictate Christianity. They're trying to dictate non-Christianity. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun. I'm not putting any dates. I can tell you the order of the events. I can tell you how it's going to take place. I just know this. It's going to happen. And the signs of the times are here. Israel becoming a nation was the last of the biblical signs. Bible says, in the last days, perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of themselves, blasphemers, boasters, proud. Everybody doing okay? Sound like our generation? Talks about them being violent. Talks about wars and rumors of war. Talks about cataclysmic type weather. Sound like our day? Says it'll be a generation that believes strong delusion. We live in a delusional world. Says it'll be a time where a child shall lead an adult and an adult shall follow a child. Well, we live in a world where children run everything. Everything's about the child. Do you know what my dad said everything was about for me? Obey. The only right I had was to obey. If not, there's a door. Don't let it hit you on the way out. Can I tell you something? It's a time where right will be wrong and wrong will be right. Isn't it amazing how everybody has freedom of religion except God? It's okay for people to say God and use a curse word after it, but they never say Mohammed in a curse word after it. They never say Buddha in a curse word after it. Why is it they only use our God in a curse word? And that's acceptable. But to live a Christian life, you're weird. You're a terrorist. You're a radical. Thank you. Sodomites have rights, but a Christian doesn't. My soul, we live in the end days. We're getting close, folks. I love the bumper sticker. Jesus is coming again, and boy, is he mad. I like that. I don't know if he's mad, but he ought to be. And he's coming back, and we're going back to heaven with him. We're going to receive the reward for what we do. Some of us ought to decide we're going to go with him, first of all. Second of all, those of us that know we're going with him ought to do something when we get there. We got something to get while we're there. I'm trying to make your forever a brighter place. I want you to be settled on what's going to happen the rest of world history. This is how it'll take place. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Please close your eyes and bow your head for a moment. Who would say, preacher, if I died today, I am 100% sure. I know without a doubt that I've trusted Jesus as my Savior and that I would go to heaven. Would you raise your hand, please? God bless you. You can put your hands down. There were people that couldn't put their hands up, and I respect that. I would not embarrass you any more than the people that I just asked to raise their hand. But I wonder, is there one here today that would say, preacher, if I died today, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'll not call you out. I'll not come to you. But you'd raise your hand and say, preacher, that's me. I'm not sure I'm going to heaven when I die. Would you raise your hand? There's one. There's another. There's another. You may put your hands down. In a moment, if you just raised your hand and said, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven when I die, in a moment, we'll stand to our feet. The music will begin to play. At that point in time, I want you to step out from where you are. If there's somebody beside you, they'll let you out. They want you to get saved. You come to this altar, and I'll have a man, if you're a man, or a lady, if you're a lady. I'll have somebody take the Bible in a matter of 2 minutes. 3 minutes at most. You'll know for sure you're on your way to heaven. It's not an experience. It's just trusting Christ. I wonder if you've been saved and never been baptized. We can take care of that today. If you've been saved and baptized by immersion, and you'd like to join our church, we'd love to have you today. At that time, you come as well. Maybe you just need to say something like this. Preacher, if you'd raise your hand and say, "Preacher, there's something in that sermon I needed today. It's helped me. Maybe I need to get off my blessed assurance and do something, but I needed something in that sermon today." Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of hands. Maybe you just need to come to this old-fashioned altar and pray for a while. But don't you dare walk out of this place not sure of heaven. Please, don't do it.